If you know the name Jonathan Richman, it's probably because of his band.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers, the band that Richman fronted as a young man. But that was 1972, and Richman's musical career has spanned the last four decades. Now, armed with a nylon string guitar and a flair for the exotic, Richman is known for his almost childlike enthusiasm and free-flowing improvised live shows. He's amassed a large and loyal following, which will surely be following him to the Goat Farm in Atlanta for his concert tonight. WABE's Mike John sat down with Richman and his drummer, Tommy Larkins, to talk about his approach to music and his relationship with his audience.
And the relationship with the audience lasts about an hour and 15 or 17 minutes with no set plan.
You don't do set lists?
No, because I don't know what we're going to do, and neither does he.
How does that work out from
night to
night?
Like that. I switch up and he follows just like you heard.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
So and you could do it too. I just got to get yourself a drummer. That's the key. So I've seen many people here since I've come to Atlanta walking around with no drummer. And I try to tell them, but they're not listening to me. I'd say everyone should have a drummer, but they're not paying any attention and they suffer the consequences.
That's why everyone's so unhealthy.
That's
in this
right.
Country.
They're not looking good, yeah. And it's because of no drummer.
No, they don't have any color.
No color.
Nothing.
No backup. No one there for them when they need the beat.
Yeah.
How do they expect to hang out and have fun? Well.
I've heard other people describe your music.
Oh no, man.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Critics.
Oh no.
But fans. Fans too. Fans too. I've heard people talk about your music being simple, having this simplicity about it. Do you feel like your music is simple?
Now I'll stop kidding around and I'll tell you the serious truth. The serious truth is I don't know what we're going to do, whether it's going to be serious, light, or anything. And I don't want to put an adjective on it. If I find out, I wouldn't let you know. And if you know, don't tell me. The truth about this stuff is it's what I feel. The song's got to have feeling, and the only way I can do it with feeling is to not know what I'm going to do next. I don't want to think like that. So I don't even want to remember what's on recent albums. I don't know what we're going to do tonight. That's the only way I can work.
Can you talk about how you've seen music and the sort of the business of playing music change in the time that you've been performing?
Yeah, it's gotten louder, except I've gotten softer. Tell you what, when I was in my teens, I would make art posters to go to, I was underage, but I would talk my way into a club I was pretty good at drawing, so I would buy a poster board and make a poster that I figured would be good enough to bring it to clubs in Boston area, and they would let me in, and it worked. So clubs where I wasn't known, you know, I would just walk in, this little squirt that I was, and I would show them this poster of, say, The Doors or The Jefferson Airplane or something like that. And they'd let me in. One time, The Doors, they had just had a hit record. And I showed up there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon with my poster. And there were The Doors themselves, setting up mostly their own equipment. They might have had a road manager. So me, this squirt that they didn't know, was standing as close to them as we are right now. No security, no such thing. They didn't ask who I was. No one cared. That's how the business has changed. I like to go to minor league baseball games now rather than major league baseball games. I'd rather see a AA game in Kenosha, Wisconsin, than the real thing. You know why? They don't have the big screen. There's just a guy with a little bullhorn saying, number 38, Williams, center field. That's all. To me, that's baseball. You're 5 feet away from the people, but you're seeing it in silence, more or less the way you might have in 1928. So the changes in the music business have been similar. When I started, There was no taped, or whatever you call it, music, canned music when you walked in. You waited for the show. A lot of times we do that, at my instigation, you know. The club will say, what kind of walk-in music you want? I say, can we have nothing? They go, well, we could. I said, then how about nothing? People are saturated and inundated with sound enough, in my opinion.
You've been playing music for a long time.
You said it.
What keeps you playing music?
Okay, when I was 17, right around this time I was telling you about how when I started out, I was I walked up to the J. Giles band. They were the J. Giles Blues Band at that time, and I knew them because we hung around in the same social circles, more or less, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, back in the late 60s. And so I walked up to one of the band members and said, is it okay if I play my guitar between your sets here at this coffee house? And I played for him a little. He said, okay. And one of those times I was in the kitchen where you waited to go on. There was no, it was just really a coffee house. There was no, not a dressing room. And I was 17 and I said to myself, Jonathan, if this ever becomes a job, we're quitting, right? And I said, Jonathan, next day. So Jonathan said to Jonathan, if this ever becomes work, I'll tell you here, right on your NPR station, that if that day comes, you'll know, because that'll be the last tour booked. Any other tours after that that have already been booked will be canceled, and that'll be the end.